Hi, and welcome to Prosody, WYEP's weekly show featuring the work of poets and writers. I'm Jan Beatty, and my guest tonight is the poet Shirley Snowde. Shirley Snowde is a writer of poetry, fiction, and song lyrics, and is a seven-year member of the Mad Women in the Attic. She attended Community College of Allegheny County. Her poems and stories have been published in Pittsburgh City Paper, and she lives in East Liberty. Hi, Shirley. How are you?
Oh, hello.
Good to have you here today.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
And you have a manuscript entitled Barefoot on Southern Soil, and you're going to read some poems from that today.
Yes.
Okay.
Black veil. The black net veil entangles her body, prevents her touching the honeysuckle vines that wrap themselves around her childhood fence. It blocks the rosy smell in her mother's backyard. She tries in desperation to feel wet southern soil with her bare feet. She reaches out to the dials of time to turn them back, but autumn's hands grasp her fingers, lead her onward. My second poem is Sunday Woman. Statuesque and chic in her chiffon hat, the Sunday woman enters the church. A seat is reserved ahead of them all, and a front pew for the rest of her life. She smiles at the reverend, scowls at rowdy kids, for today is holy. All must be genteel. She departs the church, goes back to her house, swears at her husband, who's unshaven and vile. Southern Rain. Rain was mama crying for the child that let go 5 months before its time. It slid between her thighs, fell upon her feet while she scrubbed dirty laundry on a rub board in the backyard. Two little girls stood watching as she wrung men's overalls and tugged them to a waiting line on that wintry day. Rain was mama crying, tears of joy or pain, for one more woman child who would never feel southern rain. Second Morning. This poem is for my grandmother. I still see her, but vaguely. The big bone woman, long braids, left breast missing. I press my ears closer to the thickening fog and try to remember the sound of her voice when she'd speak. Sunflowers she planted are still here, as is the Huxley's truck that brought her liniment and coconut candy. But I sense a second rain, as I'm the age she was the day of her first goodbye.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Prosody. I'm Jan Beatty, and my guest tonight is the poet Shirley Snowde. She's reading poems from her new manuscript entitled Barefoot on Southern Soil. Shirley, one thing I love about your poems is, your sense of imagery and how you transport us to other times and other places through your poems. You know, I'm thinking of the poem that you read, Sunday Woman, and I love that sense of the real that we get with this Sunday woman in church, and then at the end you have her husband unshaven and vile. Can you talk about that poem and how it came together?
As children in Sunday school and in church, we would observe a lot of people. And this woman, she's very real. And her husband, he never came to church, so he was very real also. So that's how that particular poem came about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I love your word choice, you know, unshaven and vile. It's just a great pairing there, and it really gives us a sense of him, you know.
Thank you.
I also wanted to ask you about, your manuscript is called Barefoot on Southern Soil, and there's a strong sense of the South in your poems. with the language, I don't know if it's – I'll ask you. I don't know if it's totally of the South, but you have some great details and great language, like hucksters and liniment and – what did you say? Liniment and coconut
– coconut candy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But those particular details that take us to sort of a different way of living, maybe a slower way of living. Can you talk about your choice of language to deliver us to another time?
Well, that particular poem about the liniment and the coconut candy was during my grandmother's time. Mm-hmm. And I was a very small girl. And once a week, a truck would come around. They called the guy Huckster, and he would bring salves, as they call it, liniment, a lot of cure-alls. And he would bring this candy along with him. And for a long time, we thought that was the only kind of candy that existed. So that's where that particular poem came from. And the language... it was used, just that was our world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, men's overalls. There's just a lot of great language in your work that does a lot of does a lot to transport the reader.
Yes, that was what we knew.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And your poems tend to be sort of short on the page with shorter lines, but it's always been amazing to me how much you get from those lines. So I'm wondering, like, when you work on your poems, are they longer and then you cut them back? Or how does – are they shorter and you just push them to be, you know, just a little longer?
Well, some are longer when I'm working on them, and some are shorter. Mm-hmm. So it's no – I have no particular pattern there. It's just the way that they, you know, come out on the page.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, well, could you read some more poems?
Okay. The next poem is called Soliloquy in Black. This is a 1950s poem. And so this thing begun, locked behind closed doors without keys, long before the babe's father or the babe himself exit his mother's womb. Others that heard the infant cry nodded their heads. They already knew about blackness outside, even on sun-filled days. You're green now, one conceded, but you too will learn the world is an enormous elephant, not merely an ant that scrambles with breadcrumb in its mouth. Someday you may observe the sky, see a rainbow, and wonder why there is no black in that spectrum arc. Perhaps you'll climb over treetops with bucket and brush in hand, painted there yourself. Wine taster. About 13, not quite as ripe as the mulberries that made the crimson wine. My brother, my sister, and I picked them during the summer from overloaded branches of the berry tree. They were for our neighbor, who would concoct in her kitchen a tantalizing pleasure for wintry nights to come. And when it became December, my mother poured 3 glasses of our summer's labor from a half-gallon jug. I took my place in a corner behind the pot-bellied stove. There I drank my potion of the bittersweet brew. I also drank my siblings. They did not like the liquid that burned their mouths and tender throats. What her mother never said. Lamb girls there sang bleating songs in fertile honeybee fields. Sly boots lurk in tall grass. They wait for the harvest. The red dress awakened a sleeping passion, while white lace may shield mysteries and tender, untouched skin. Women were merely wilted pebbles of a perfect violet, to be placed between yellowing pages read by many men. Prayer of the Black Seed. I wrote this particular poem for African American Week. Come get me, Mama. Place me back into your womb. I'm scared. I want to feel the rhythm of your heartbeat as you keep me safe and warm. I'm just a boy, not a man. Cage I stand, barefoot and chain, in this cattle boat sailing. I heard your cry amid other mama's cries as I left our African land. Come get me, Mama. Mama, please.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Prosody. I'm Jan Beatty, and my guest tonight is the poet Shirley Snowdy. She's reading from her new manuscript entitled Barefoot on Southern Soil. It's really great, Shirley, to hear you read your own work because your voice is so distinctive and you do a really good job reading.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I want to ask you about, you know, you said you wrote the last poem for African-American History Month, I guess, and there was also another poem in which you referenced race. I guess the poem with no black in the rainbow. And can you talk about deciding or not deciding to have race as a subject of your work?
Well, I have always loved poetry for poetry itself. When I was younger, I just loved the beauty of the poetry. And as I grew older, things began to change. I was introduced to contemporary poetry, and I, like I said, I just love poetry for itself. So therefore, I don't see putting a label, on poetry.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I was just responding because you sort of brought it up in that you had written that last poem specifically, with race in mind. Can you tell us about some of the writers that inspire you or some people who you read?
Well, in the beginning, I used to read a lot of old poetry. It was Robert Frost and Emily Dickinson, and my favorite poem was Stopping by the Woods on a Snowy Afternoon. I would read that over and over again. And The Rime of the Ancient Mariner, I forgot who wrote that, but I still read it over and over again. But then when I was introduced to contemporary poetry, I began to love it just as much as I love, the old poetry.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're a child and you have a lot of time to yourself, you're sort of lonely, you tend to write.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that was another incentive, for me to write poetry.
So you've been writing your whole life, or have you had periods where you put it down for a while?
Well, it's put down for a while. It depends on what's going on in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I was married with little children, I didn't have time.
Yeah.
But lonely, especially some Sunday afternoons when it's lonely, that's when the writing is really, really going on.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Could we have some more poems?
Okay. Broken Promises. This is another poem geared towards the year of my grandmother. My eyes open to rituals at dawn. Grandma Clara in the kitchen, humming Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, while brewing coffee. Early one morning, the sun had arisen, yet still she slept. Her room was cold in midsummer. Her body lay still in a cast-iron bed. A white sheet hid her wrinkled face. The Mary Tree. This poem was written for my mother who passed away. And when you pass away sometime in the South, you can get a tree planted in your name. But they won't tell you where the tree is because they don't want anyone coming around, you know, worshiping the tree. So the tree is called the Mary Tree. The poem is called the Mary Tree. No one will say where you're planted, nor do I need to know. I do not revel shrines, but I would like to think you stand firm, your leaves evergreen, somewhere in a Carolina forest. My eyes sometime wander as they trail southern backwoods. Are you that flowery magnolia, sap flowing through your veins as you swaddle infant blackbirds? Portrait of Embry. She watched him plow in southern fields, his black skin gleam on the iron-furnished sun, his sultry lips softer than the cotton she picked, drank well water from the gourd she'd carved. He thanked her with his smiling eyes. Barren Garden. Quiet stands the old woman. Her feet touch solid soil where plush tomatoes once grew. It's been many years since berry vines were pregnant with tomorrow's jam. The wide fence, rusty and worn with time, surrounds the empty garden.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Prosody. I'm Jan Beatty, and my guest tonight is the poet Shirley Snowde. Shirley, I really love that poem, The Mary Tree, and I didn't know the sort of the background of it. That, can you say that again, that when someone dies in the South, that...
Yes, a tree is planted in their honor. But you're not told where the tree is planted because they don't want anyone to come around and worship the mm-hmm. tree. And I think that's a beautiful, you know, thing to do in honor of the deceased one.
It is. It mm-hmm. is. Well, do they plant all the trees in one place or you don't know?
We don't know. And I don't think everyone gets a tree planted. I mean, you know, the family may request it. They'll ask the family. That's not an all over thing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's mm-hmm. great. It seems that you have a lot of poems relating to family, to mother or the grandmother. So that is I'm thinking that's a big inspiration for your work.
Yes, it is. It is, especially my grandmother, because when I was born, she was already in the house, and she lived with us until I was 10, until she passed away. And I would look upon her as mother rather than my mother. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, and that was a great, great loss.
Yeah, I mean, the poems about family that you have are really warm and rich with feeling. I think you have a few more poems.
Okay. Here's one called Wound Child. Come, my friend, let's walk barefoot down that rutty road. Feel the naked southern soil. I know time is tomorrow, that yesterday is entombed within the walls of a concrete house that stands amid orphan roses. If we press our ears to boarded windows, close eyes to whom we've become, perhaps we may hear laughter and envision faces in a world we left behind. Winter's Eulogy. This poem has nothing to do with the childhood. This poem was written last winter as I was looking out of the window at the snow. Who will recite lines of winter's joy? Perhaps not the man who feels his chill. He is preoccupied in seeking warmth. He dare not revel shambles of ice crystals that cling to bare arms of the maple tree. Who will stand, shovel in hand, marvel at a white snow mound, and whisper, "Beauty"? This is another love poem. This poem was written for my husband, my deceased husband. I see you in the rust while leaves, whirling, spiring, crisscross. The wind and your laughter alive, boisterous, free. You made all time our time. On cool, crisp evenings, your blanket arms swaddled me, while shadows crept inch by inch into our space, bringing in the twilight. I heard you sing with the owl wise, knowing that you, not your love, would go away before the snowfall. You taught me well that love is a bond of seasons, warm, sometimes sweltering, even wintry, to be relived over and over again in time.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Prosody. I'm Jan Beatty, and my guest tonight is the poet Shirley Snowde. And she's reading from her new manuscript entitled Barefoot on Southern Soil. I'd like to ask you, Shirley, about the title of your manuscript, Barefoot on Southern Soil. It seems like you have such a connection to the South. Is that what your chapbook is about, or what were you thinking with that title?
Well, a lot of it is about the South. And I was born and raised in the South, and I go back every once in a while, and the soil just, it feels different from any other soil of other places that I might have been. And my happiest days in the South when I was young and barefoot.
Mm-hmm. Where in the South were you born?
I was born in Columbia, South Carolina.
Oh, okay. Okay. What is it about, I don't know if you can capture this, but I mean, I guess a lot of it's in your book, but what is it about the soil that's different?
I never knew. If we would take a car ride from, say, from Pittsburgh going to South Carolina, the first thing I would do when I hit the soil was take off my shoes and put my feet in the soil. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's just symbolic. It could be a symbolic thing also.
Mm-hmm. It's a great image, though. I love the idea of it, mm-hmm. You know.
Thank you.
Okay. We have time for a couple more poems.
Passion. Passion knows no bounds. Naked it runs, tossing bright orange flames. An unbridled hunger it rises above treetops, knocks over mountains, kisses the sky, and explodes. Rainy Sunday. This is another poem that I wrote shortly after my husband's death 13 years ago. A frozen sun hangs from the ceiling over the chair at the table's head. Sheet music set mute on top of the organ. Notes no longer dance over keys. Laughter from the bedroom, an unfinished cabinet, his image and children's gestures refuse to go away. A woman crosses her arms, hugs her body, wants the rain to stop. Transition. Sudden awakening. When a perfect world removes her mask from upon her face. Mother Robin must push her young from warm straw nest to fly. The avenues, often forborn or adventurous, divides into countless intersections along routes. The sanctuary left behind in the distance awaits, calls back. But life's tide force, when it is high, leads aspirations and faiths to mountains. Diva Allen. She stands naked in the wild, gold-colored dress at her feet, ready to make love to winter's wind. Her lips kiss snowflakes that sate her with wetness. She enchants her audience in brazen delight. And in the springtime, she changes her leaves to calla green attire for her virgin robe. Regret. This was written when I was sitting one day thinking about myself, you know, where has life gone? When climbing hillsides, one sometimes linger in one space too long. He harvests trivia that entangles his feet before he becomes aware that time danced around him, sits on the hilltop, stares in his face. Alive. Sometimes, before a coming storm, I become the woman child. I rush outside to smell the dust that rain awakened from cracked sidewalks. I extend my tongue to taste the naked water. Reasons. What if a sun never existed? If there was no light, a land in complete darkness? Think about the void, a nothingness to precreate. Flesh, greenery, beauty, poems.
Thank you so much for being here, Shirley. That was wonderful.
Thank you for having me.
It's the poetry of Shirley Snowdy. You've been listening to Prosody, WYEP's weekly show featuring the work of poets and writers. Writers appearing on Prosody also have their work showcased in Chapter and Verse, a biweekly feature in Pittsburgh City Paper, the Arts Entertainment News Weekly, published every Wednesday. Prosody is produced by Jan Beatty and Alan Wadey. Our sound engineers are Michelle Stoner and Lisa Alexander. Please tune in every Wednesday night at 7:30 for Prosody, 91.3 WYEP.